morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? All right. Well, one, welcome to Cheyenne Berean. We've been going through the life of Christ, and this morning I will say that we are going to take a little bit of a detour from where I was going to be heading. We were going to be talking about the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus raising him from the grave, but kind of as a segue into this, my wife and I, we decided to take our kids on a little spring break, and we went down to Colorado Springs, and we got away, and during that time of getting away, God kind of put another message on my heart. So we're actually going to be talking still about the life of Christ, but a different aspect. So one, it was fun to get away with the kids. We don't do it a whole lot, and I don't know that I'm always great at intentionally doing that, of getting family away, but just to at least give a testament, my son can attest that he loved the trip, because the first morning that we were there having breakfast, the first thing that he said to us is, "Dad, I'm going to have like 9 bowls of cereal." And he proceeded to fill bowl after bowl after bowl. He doesn't get that many bowls of cereal at our house. So that was like a big key thing for him. But we took time just being together as a family and enjoying each other. We did spend some time guarding the gods and then just having fun together. But during that time, also got time to be away and be still. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that this morning, the urgency and the necessity of space in our life, of finding time to get away. And it's important for each and every one of us. And we're going to see that most specifically in the life of Jesus. And then we're actually going to do something where we're actually going to practice being silent before the Lord. And what I know is the first time I did this, I did it with my daughter. And we went through this process. It was a little bit longer. It was about a 15-minute process of going through this. And when we got done with it, we started to do it again, only with words and reading it to her just to see how that would impact her. And she was like, no. We got to do it different. And so anyway, we're going to practice a little bit later being silent and being still before God. And what I realize is that's going to be uncomfortable for many of us. We are used to a bombardment of information coming at us. Whether you have a cell phone or you have email or other things that happen, we are used to a constant barrage of information coming at us. And I'm actually a part of the problem right now. No. But one of the things that I want us to do this morning is listen closely to what happens in Jesus' life. And maybe to give the urgency and the necessity of it, I took time this morning to actually prepare a few different little handouts. If you got a quiz this morning, raise it real quick. All right, we're going to do a quiz. So I want you to take just a moment and go ahead and start that quiz. If you don't have one and you have a neighbor nearby, maybe you can kind of look off of your neighbor. And I'd like you to start working on that quiz. Brady is like, "Oh man, I don't have one." Does anybody have an extra one that would just be willing to share with Brady? I mean, he's feeling very lonely over here. Oh, good, good. If anybody else needs one, raise your hand. We can maybe share in the group. Oh man, Lance needs one too. But take just a moment and work on that quiz. And actually, when you finish the quiz, go ahead and just raise your hand. All right, there's a few of you that have finished. Good job. Good job. Now, before I let this go too much longer for any of you that are still trying to laboriously work at the quiz, I'll let you in on something. I'm kind of sick and twisted, and when I was a student in school, the teacher would sometimes give one of those quizzes and go, "All right, you need to be really sure that you read the instructions on this quiz." So for those that raised their hand, what's the answer? Well, who is the person? Yeah, well, who is it? Okay, Hannah, they're okay, good, good. We actually did complete the quiz. Your only thing that you needed to do, there's quite a few different questions on this thing. The only thing that you really needed to do was ask the person next to you what their name is. When you completed that, you got it. There's a bunch of really good questions to wrestle through and have a lot of fun with, but the only pertinent question that was on there was, what the person's name is sitting next to you. I remember sitting in a class and a teacher literally did that for us. They had the instruction on the top. They said, listen, all you need to do is just make sure you read the instructions. And again, they said it again, just make sure you read the instructions. Okay, got it. And then I go in and I am having a blast with this test. I think it was math. And I'm like working all these problems out and I'm going through and I look around and I see other people just kind of folding their hands like they're all done. I'm like, man, how on earth did these people get through with this? And I'm crazy filling out this test. And then next thing you know, finally, they're laughing. And I'm like, what? This isn't funny, guys. I'm trying to work on my test here. And teacher, okay, you can put your pens down. This was just a lesson in reading instructions. You need to read instructions. And so I look at it and I'm like, oh, man, all I needed to do was put my name on the top of the page and I was done. And I'd already done that. Well, here's the reality that faces us this morning. Of what I was thinking about this week and then felt an urgency to talk to us about as a church. See, my concern for us as a church, my concern for myself is that sometimes I think in life, it's similar to that test. I get a test and there's really only maybe an assignment that I have on that. I don't need to do the whole test. That's not my responsibility. But what I do is I start taking on all of that responsibility and I work really hard and I get through all of this stuff and then all of a sudden I realize, whoa, wait a minute. That wasn't my responsibility. I've been stressing out and freaking out about all of this stuff and it's not on my plate. I remember being younger and I was working here as a janitor, working with youth, and an opportunity came up to either continue working in the internship or Maranatha Bible Camp wanted me to come out and help. And man, I was just racking my brain. Which one do I choose? Do I choose this one? Do I choose this one? And sometimes there's options that I have to choose and I racked my brain and tried to figure out what to do. And the reality is maybe some of you are facing decisions in your life right now. You're trying to figure out between two great options and you don't know how to do it. Or maybe there's just so much going on in your life that you're just running at a pace that you're like, man, I don't even know why I'm doing any of this anymore. Is this my responsibility? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? My question for us this morning is how do we filter this through? How do we actually come to a conclusion where I can come to a place of rest and actually come to the place where I go, okay, this is what's on my plate and I'm going to go for it and I'm going to put tons of energy and effort to it because I know it's what I'm supposed to be about and I know it's what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, my question is, did Jesus ever face that? Did he ever have this happen in his life? Did he ever have people looking for him and asking him for help where he had to make a decision? Do I help and keep doing this or do I do something else? We're actually going to be reading about a situation that Jesus faced where this very thing faced our Lord and Savior, the one that we want to follow. And so I think it's important for us to learn this lesson from our Savior and understand how this can impact and change our lives and what we say yes and what we say no to. So this morning, sometimes we stand in honor and reverence to the word. But this morning, as I'm trying to help us maybe slow down and quiet down, I'm actually going to ask you to sit. We're going to read through a short passage in Mark 1, 35 through 39. Take in these words, and then I'm going to talk about them. And then we're going to go into an exercise together after we briefly talk through some aspects of the passage. So Mark 1, 35 through 39 says this. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, Jesus, departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out. And he went through all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Let's pray. Father, each and every one of us, we have a variety of different things that happen in our life. We have decisions that face us on a regular basis. And this morning, what we're asking of you, would you teach us from your life of your son, Jesus? Would you help teach us how to actually interact, how to know what is on our plate? What's our assignment? Would you give us tools to do that? And then, God, would you help us to walk confidently in you as we put that into practice and implement that in our life? And would that change who we are? And would it change this community as a church, and then also this community, Cheyenne? God, thank you so much for this morning. In your name, amen. Well, Mark 1, just to give you an idea of what's happened before this whole scenario happens, before Jesus rises up early and takes this time to actually pray, you need to understand what happened the day before. See, the day before was Saturday, and as a Sabbath day, Jesus went to the synagogue. He spends time teaching in the synagogue. This is a busy day for Jesus. Takes time teaching in the synagogue, and then all of a sudden a person that was demon-possessed comes in, and he casts this demon out of this person, and there's a lot of activity that's happening on this day. After he makes his way out of the synagogue there in Caesarea, or not in Caesarea, in Capernaum, he makes his way over to Peter's mom's house. It's just not too far, most likely, from the synagogue. And his mom's sick, and he heals his mom, Peter's mom. And she rises up and starts serving. And then as sun starts to go down, if you're in Jerusalem, man, when we spent time there, one of the things that happens is the sun starts to go down on Sabbath, all of a sudden people are coming out of the woodworks. Everybody just starts coming out. There's usually a celebration that happens in Jerusalem on Ben Yehuda Street. And people are out and enjoying life. They've been resting. They've been taking time away. And now they're going to come out and enjoy one another. And sure enough, what happens is people are starting to come out of that Sabbath rest. Where do they go? Peter's mom's house. And they brought the sick, and they brought demon-possessed. And Jesus has this. He stays up most likely till wee hours of the night, healing and interacting with these people. And then he takes time to rise early in the morning to go spend time with the Father in a secluded place. It says that the disciple, specifically Simon Peter, it took him a long time to find where Jesus was. He obviously wasn't just like on the outskirts of town. He went out to get away from all the hustle and the bustle. So we look at what Jesus did, and he gets away from everything. And then Simon finally finds him with a group of other people, and he says, "Hey, everybody's looking for you. Come on back." And what does Jesus say? It's time to go to the next village. There are so many lessons this morning that we can learn from this. But listen closely as I talk through this. Why, the question that I want to ask us this morning, why is solitude essential for us as followers of Jesus? Why is solitude, why is getting away to be quiet with God, why is that so essential? And we see it in the life of the Son. Well, one, let's just look practically at this real quick. One, when we look at Jesus and what happened with him, we can see that by Jesus' example, he takes time to get away and be with the Father. This is a normal pattern of his life. And I have a slide with a passage in Luke. And take a look at this. It says, "But he would withdraw to a desolate place and pray." This was his pattern. This was his MO. He would get away constantly. As you read through the Gospels, Jesus is taking time to get away from the crowd and spend time with the Father. Why is it so urgent that we get away, that we actually have solitude and be quiet before God? Jesus did it. Man, if the Son of God, God in the flesh, saw it as necessary for him to spend time alone with the Father and in communication with him, how urgent is it for us to spend that same time? It was his practice. He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And scripture actually gives us a few examples of other cases where this happened. So when we look at this, we can actually see from Jesus' temptation in Luke 4, 1 through 2, says this, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. Shortly after his baptism, Jesus gets away. He's led by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness. Some things to pay attention in that I think are significant. Solitude was a result of being full of the Holy Spirit. He was being led. He was being controlled. He was allowing the Spirit to dictate what he was going to do. And he went out into a secluded place. It was a matter of being full of the Spirit. It was a matter of being led by the Spirit. Moving on, the choosing of the 12 apostles. Luke 6:12 says, "In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God." See, retreating here was for communication with the Father again. But why was he doing that? It was because he had an important decision that he was going to make. See, there were a group of followers that were there among him, and he was going to select 12 to be his apostles, his sent ones that he would send into villages. And what did he do? He took time away before he made an important decision. He pulled away to make sure that he was in communion with the Father, that he was making decision in that community of he and the Father. There was an important decision that needed made. The next one, after a feeding of the 5,000, in Mark 6:45 through 46, it says, "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat." Listen to that. "And go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray." He does something miraculous. And then notice what he does. How urgent is solitude for him? What does he do with his disciples? He told them to go. "It's time for you to go." Solitude was so important that he actually scheduled his life and the life of others and said, "I'm pulling away. It's time for me to pull away." And sometimes you actually just need to shut things down in our life. You ever realize that? Sometimes you just need to shut things down and you need to go away and be alone with God. Jesus saw that as important. We need to see that as important. So Jesus got away to pray. Well, what was going to happen next? People were going to come and try to make him king. Why was that so urgent that he had that time to be away with the Father? There was something significant that was coming around the corner that he was being prepared for. Being prepared to say, "I'm not that king. You may want a king, but it's not me." We look at the last example, and that's Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mark 14:35 through 36 says, "And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him." He's just about to go to the cross. He's just about to offer his life as a sacrifice for many. He's been betrayed already. There's guards on their way to come, and they're going to take him away and interrogate him and then hang him on a tree the next day. And he knows what's coming. And what does he do? He pulls away into solitude. He falls on the ground and he prays that if it were possible that that might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me." But listen to this last part. "Yet not what I will, but what you will." See, the most pivotal moment of his life, he goes away into solitude, a stone's throw away from the disciples, because there's something important happening in his life. Gives us a great pattern for our life. Something else that we should notice in that. It's a pivotal moment of his life. Jesus yields to the Father. It's not just what he wants to do. It's what, God, what you want to do. This is your will, and I want to be surrendered to that. See, this solitude was going to be something that would help him surrender and yield himself to what the Father wanted. Not just what I want, but what you want. See, the urgency of pulling away and having solitude is so that we actually can yield and submit ourselves to the plans of the Father. Prayer is this thing last week that I talked about, is that as I come in, I want to wrap my mind and I want to wrap my heart and I want to wrap my hands around what God is doing. And we see Jesus doing that in the garden. "Not what I will, but what you will." Notice also that he invites others to join with him in prayer. They stop and pray just a stone's throw away while he prays and engages with the Father. Sometimes it's good to actually ask other people, "Join with me and pray while you go and you spend time in solitude with the Father." And they spend time with the Father and pray. And he asks his disciples to do that. So he invites others to join with him, and he willingly surrenders to the plan of God. Well, specifically, let's look at our text. Jesus rose early. I already talked about this was a busy day. When we look at what was happening with Jesus, him rising early is significant. See, so often I think what we think of pulling away and coming away from God is, I'll do that when it's convenient for my schedule. I'll do that after I've had a really good night's sleep. Then I might get up early and spend time with the Father. But what Jesus models for us is not when it's convenient, but when he's exhausted, he's spent. He wakes up early and makes time to go before the Father and spend time with him. Why? Something significant is about to happen in his life. And he goes to spend time with the Father for a source of energy, for a source of direction, for companionship. It's not just about convenience, but necessity. One of the things that I was thinking about as I was thinking through this is that some people might say, well, listen, I'm always alone. I'm a single mom. I'm a person who lives on my own. I'm always alone. I'm always secluded. I'm always alone. But there was something specific in what Jesus was doing. It wasn't just the fact that he was alone. He specifically got alone for a purpose. And that purpose was for prayer. He quieted everything around him, getting up early before anything was happening, so that he had his full attention and could spend time in communion with the Father. While I might be alone at times, there's been times in my life where I've been alone, but trust me, it has not been quiet in my life. I've not been listening to the Father. I've not made myself available to him. I have many other things that are rushing through my mind or going on in my life that I don't quiet myself to be with God. And Jesus gives us a pattern of pulling away and spending time with him. Whether I'm single, whether I'm married, all of us need this essential truth of pulling away into solitude, being quiet with God, getting away. Well, we keep going on in the last part that I'll highlight is this. So why is it so essential that we pull away, that we seclude? One, we see it as a pattern of Jesus. The second one that I would highlight is this. It provides us clarity in our assignment. And you gotta have that. We've got to have that. If I don't want to be the person that is frantically working on a test and trying to fill out every single answer and not realizing, wait, all that God is asking me to do is this. That's it. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it to the best of my capability. If I don't want to be that person that is expending myself needlessly, I need to pull away. And Jesus shows us that. Consider his life and what he does. As he pulls away and he prays, then next thing you know what we have in verse 36, Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. See, pulling away gives us that clarity to look at the big picture of things. Notice what Simon says, everybody is looking for you. That's a lot of people, right? Wow. But here's the interesting thing to me. Everyone is looking for you. The needs were real. Jesus is faced with an option that would help people. People are looking for you. They need help. There's people needing healing. Come on, Jesus, there's people here. Let's go do this. However, it's interesting that everyone for Peter here actually meant limiting and focusing on a few when his mission was bigger. He had a mission of preaching to an entire group of people. Yeah, Peter, you want me to focus on everybody, and I'm going to. It's time to leave. It's time to go to the next town. I've been here. I've been preaching. I've been teaching. They've heard, but there are places that I still need to go because they haven't heard. They don't know yet. And I need to be going to those people. And he sets out to be about that work. Jesus cares deeply for people. This isn't him running away from the people, but he has to be careful and precise in his plan. There's only 3.5 years that he has while he's here. And he's going to make the most of his time. And he does it carefully in communication with the Father. Clarity is needed for saying no. Now, here's the difficulty that I face in talking about no and yes. I was talking to somebody the other day, and one of the things that they were so frustrated about is, man, as I run into people that are Christians, and they call themselves Christians, they don't do anything. And when I talk to them, it's always no, it's always no, it's always no. And then I run into people that are always saying yes, 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 and there's a wake of damage happening as they're trying to do way too much. And I'm going, you need to pull back. You need to take your foot off the throttle. See, the problem is on both of those extremes. And what Jesus is wanting to teach us is actually something that will help us walk closely with him, where I'm not just saying no, 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 but I'm also not just saying yes, yes, yes. I'm not driven just by needs and what's happening around me. I'm actually driven by this. As I pull away into solitude, I'm able to hear what God is doing and what he's needing me to do, and I act accordingly. As I look at this, it helps me have clarity for saying no. For Jesus to be about his assignment, he would need to say no to some in order to be about everyone. He would have to say no. He couldn't just stay there. The plan, he was called to preach. He needed to keep going. What in your life is like that? What do you need to say no to? Are there things that you've been saying yes to that maybe you need to say no to? Trust me, you're not going to be able to do this unless you pull away to be quiet before God and ask him, can I get clarity on this? James 1, I need wisdom from you. I don't have it. Help me with this. I can't do it on my own. Why is this so hard to do? This is a question that I was thinking through, and I have a slide on that, Gia. Why is solitude difficult? Because see, if Josh, what you're telling me is I need to pull away so that I know how to say no or know how to say yes. Why is that so hard? See, I think it feels really good to be needed, and we like that. My question for us this morning, if that's you, if you're going, boy, it feels really good to be needed by people, and if I say no to something, I may not be needed by that person. Here's my question. Who is the Savior, really? Is it you? Is it me? Or do I really believe that God is Savior? Jesus is the one that I need to point them to. Do I really believe that? Am I willing to not just feel good about being needed? Am I okay with actually pushing people to rely and need Jesus much more than they need me? That's a step toward maturity. Our need for accomplishment. But my question to us is this, whose honor is really on the line? If I'm just trying to accomplish things, whose honor is on the line? Is this about me looking really good about what I've completed? Man, look at all the things. I'm really busy. I'm doing a lot for the kingdom. Look at me. Look at me. That may unfortunately be the only thing that I'm getting out of this, is pats on the back and people going, wow, you're doing such a great job. I'm all about the thrill. It's building my ego. Time and discipline to be still. What am I missing, though, is my question, by neglecting stillness and quiet in my life? And my last thing on this is maybe I'm afraid of what I might find if I'm still and I'm quiet before God. And let's be honest about this. To keep going means I would certainly need God. If I'm saying yes to a lot, trust me, you're going to need God to do that. Trust me, you can't do this on your own. But let's be honest. Is this what God is asking you to do? Are we carrying burdens that aren't ours to carry? Or worse, what if I'm fulfilling more of my own purposes and my own ego than really honoring God? See, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want it for me, and I don't want it for us. I don't want us to come back and be able to come in here and worship and go, look at all that we're doing. Aren't we doing great? But ultimately, it's not Jesus that we're trying to live for. We're trying to live for our own ego and our own accomplishments and build our own kingdom. I want us to be able to, at the end of the day, go, it was all for you. Not my will be done, but your will be done. And then we can come in here and worship so much differently. See, it's not just about saying no. It's actually learning how to say no so I can actually be about what God wants me to say yes to. I want that to be what we're about. Being able to say yes to the things that God genuinely has before us. Jesus had a mission. He had a purpose. And as people, it's easy to get sidetracked. What did he do to ensure that he wouldn't get sidetracked? He retreated to solitude on a regular basis. He spent time with the Father, the very thing that we need to do. So here's what we're going to do today as a matter of application. We're going to go through an exercise together, practicing silence before God. Jesus showed us the value and the urgency of being silent with God. We need it. We desperately need it. God in the flesh saw urgency in this practice. We need it too. This isn't going to be easy, but I'm going to read through kind of what we're going to be doing. There's a slideshow that I'm going to be showing, and it's going to be playing in the background. It's going to be hard for some of us as we're wired to expect a flood of stimuli. That's not going to be happening. It's going to force us to slow down. It's about 7 minutes. There's a slideshow that's going to be playing, and I want us to take a breath. So if you need to, go ahead and do that. Take a deep breath. Breathe out. And after we're done, the worship team will be playing some music in the background and leading us in a closing song. Need to understand my intent with this morning. My intent is this. We need space in our life to be able to hear God speak. I want that. I want that for me, and I want that for us as a church. God wants that for us. He's inviting us to meet with him. There's going to be instructions as we go along. Let's take time and be silent and still before God. The only thing that's going to be up is instructions on the slides until the worship team comes back up. Let's begin.